Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I was talking to my mom one time. It's been years ago. And my mom said this. She said, Jonathan, the will of God is not some mystery. The will of God is not something that we cannot understand, and the will of God is not something that we cannot know. She said the will of God is really quite simple whenever you study it out. And I'll never forget Mom telling me that, and through that I began studying on it. And I know that I've preached some on the will of God down through the years here, but let's look at this right here where he says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Can I say this to you? After you're saved, the most important thing in your life is finding out God's will for your life and then fulfilling what the will of God is for your life. Let's go back to the beginning of chapter number 5 and let's read some in chapter number 5. The Bible said this in verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We are the children of God once we're saved. So we know that as he begins to address chapter number 5, he is addressing the saved man. He is addressing the follower of God. Matter of fact, that word followers right there, whenever you look it up and you study it out, it simply means this. It means imitators of the Lord. And you say, how can I imitate God? Well, the supreme example of that was a man by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he talks to us. He set the example for us. Now note what he says in verse number 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He says, and walk in love. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. What the world needs now, you know it, don't you? Is love, sweet love. But can I tell you, that's really what they need. But the problem is this, the world can't handle true love because true love will rebuke you when you're wrong. Are you with me? And we're going to see that before we get down to verse 17. But true love will. I began to look at this. He said, walk in love. But then know what he says, as Christ also hath loved us. As Christ also hath loved us. I wrote this little note down in the side of my study Bible today as I was studying this. Christ's love is a superiority love. What does it say? As Christ loved us, has loved us, the superiority of that. We didn't love Christ first. Christ loved us first. Christ loved us first. Matter of fact, whenever we begin to think about it, let me just read you, man. It's Wednesday night. If we don't get all the way through this, we'll just pick back up again. Let me read you a verse right here in Romans chapter number 5. What he says in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 7 and 8 says this, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet part adventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The superiority of Christ's love is that he loved us. The sacrifice of Christ's love, what did he say? And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. That was the sacrifice of God's love. Love will give, amen? I've always said this, talking to young people, love gives and lust takes. If you say, well, I just can't keep my hands off each other, that's lust. That's not love. Amen. But the sacrifice was that Christ died for us. But then the spirituality of Christ's love was this. He sent a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Man, we need to go back to Leviticus and study that offering in Leviticus. And boy, the love of God, man, is something that's amazing tonight. Let's read on. He says this in verse number 3. Now we're headed to the will of God. He addresses us being His children. He tells us to walk in His love. Now watch what He says in verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with his vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. He said these things, as we look back, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, as he looks back through these, he says, this is what brings the wrath of God on your life. So don't have a part of him. Look in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now look in verse number 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, what does he say? Reprove them. What did Jesus do? He reproved the work of darkness. He reproved it. That word reprove right there, whenever you study that word out, it means to bring to light or to expose. If someone is in the wrong, then we are to love them by bringing to light or by exposing their sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We don't hear that preached anymore. It's just we want to love, love, love. True love will expose what's wrong. Hey, look, if a sinner's going to die and go to hell and we don't expose their sin, do we really love them? No, we don't really love them. To allow my kids to do anything that they want to do, is that love? No, that's not love. He says that we reprove them and have no fellowship with the unfruitful. For it is a shame even, verse number 12, to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whosoever doth not make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That word circumspectly right there, here's what it means. It means accurately whenever you study it out. And you know what he's saying? He's saying this, now that you're saved, that's who he's addressing, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And here's what he's saying, now that you know what is light, you know what is darkness, he's saying this to us, walk accurately to that. In other words, that's the way you should go. That is the foundation, what he is saying in chapter number 5, that is the foundation of our faith. Yes, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but here's some things we don't have anything to do with, and here's things we do have to do with. Now, look what he goes on to say. Redeeming the time. And know what he says. Go back to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He says we're foolish to walk as the world walks, but we're to walk wisely, and to walk wisely is to walk accurately. Now note this in verse number 16. redeeming the time. Well, why do we redeem the time? Because the days are evil. Boy, if Paul wrote this in AD 64, how much more is it true today? Why do we redeem the time? Remember, we're headed to the will of God. Why is it important to know the will of God and understand the will of God? Because the days are evil. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I began studying this word redeeming today, and I found it very interesting. Listen to this word redeeming. Here's what it means. To buy up. To buy up. And I began to think about this, and some of us that hunts a little bit, Brother Josh, I know we hunt some in Virginia, and we're not supposed to put corn there, but we can here in North Carolina. If we'd have had a place to store a lot of corn, we would have bought it up last year for $7.50 instead of $9 and $10.50 now. What's he saying? Brother Tim said, amen. I knew I'd get one out of him eventually. What's he saying about time? He's saying buy up time. That's what that word redeeming means. Listen to what else it means. As I went on to, this is so interesting. It means to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. Here's what he's saying. The days are evil, and because the days are evil, we need to redeem the time. We need to make wise of what we do with our time. Do you know time is something you will never get back? Something you will never get back? One thing Brother Mark and I has talked about, and Brother Granville, and I know I've talked about Brother Granville a lot, but we've already spent about 20 or 22 hours together in the past 2 days. But anyway, we was talking, and one thing that we have agreed on is that every person that comes on these grounds through this building project, we're going to tell them about the Lord as long as we can. Now, they may come and go real fast, but we're going to try our best to tell them about the Lord. And man, yesterday we had Brother Matthew was with us yesterday all day. We had a golden opportunity yesterday for about 3 or 4 hours to do that. And that poor old feller, whenever he left, he was probably ready to leave, because Brother Mark would a little while, Brother Matthew would a little while, and we was just tag teaming the three of us on one guy yesterday. But before he left, he ended up saying he's probably going to come visit us at church. And he began talking about his past and where he had been and the lifestyle that he had lived. And man, he had a scarred past. And here's what I told him before he left yesterday. I said, there's nothing we can do about the past. We can't bring the past back. You know what? We can sit here tonight and we can talk about everything back in chapter 5, verse 3, 4, and maybe there was a time that we lived in those areas, but we can't go back to that. We can't bring back time. And he's saying this to us. Now that we understand we can't bring back time, we need to walk correctly. We need to buy up our time. We need to take advantage of every moment that we have to tell somebody about Jesus. How many people's going to be in heaven because of you? Who's going to be in heaven because you told them about Jesus? Because you give them a gospel tract? You say, preacher, I thought we was talking about the will of God. We are. We're headed there. He says, redeem the time, man. Buy it up. Purchase the time. And then he goes on to say this. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said, don't be unwise about this. You need to understand the will of God. I've often said this. I'm going to say it again, and then we're going to really dive into this on the will of God. I've often said this. I wonder how many people in Nineveh went to hell while Jonah was running from the call of God on his life. Jonah knew. And I want to say something. It's one thing to be making sure that that's what God wants for your life. But Jonah wasn't just praying and making sure. Jonah was running. He went down to Tarshish. He went down into a ship. He went down into the fish's belly. When you're constantly going down, you are not going to the will of God. You're going away from the will of God. Now, I wonder how many people will be in hell because some of us did not follow the will of God in our life. He said we redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil, and because of that, we need to understand the will of the Lord. Let me say a few things about the will of the Lord. I find it so interesting that he begins dealing with this as soon as we're saved. We're followers of Christ now. We're putting off the workers of darkness. We became light in him now. So now that we're light in God, we need to know what the will of God is. Think about this. The will of God is not something that is just for a super spiritual. The will of God is not something that is just for the preacher. The will of God is not something super secret that God has hidden from us. The will of God is not beyond our understanding. The will of God will never take you away from the Word of God. The will of God will never be contrary to the Word of God. The will of God will never take you further than the sufficiency of the grace of God. Well, that's some good things I just said. I hope you got it. The will of God will never take you further than the sufficiency of the grace of God. In other words, where God guides, God provides. Amen. Where God guides, God provides. The will of God means that God has a plan, a place, and a purpose for your life. I've often had this question asked me, "Preacher, do you think God's done with me?" And I've always said this, if you're breathing, God is not done with you. I thought about this. I want to look at, in this study, understanding the will of God, undertaking the will of God, and underestimating the will of God. Let's look at understanding the will of God tonight. Number one, and I'm watching the time. Number one, we must understand there is the printed will of God. You say, what do you mean the printed will of God? There is a printed or slash public will of God. By the printed will of God, I mean that which is written in the Word of God. If God put it in the Bible, it is our responsibility to rightly divide the word of truth and then to do what the Bible teaches. I want to say something to you again tonight, and I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else I say tonight, the will of God will never be contrary to the word of God. The Bible said this, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." If you're saved tonight, the will of God, if you're a single person sitting in here saved tonight, I promise you it is not the will of God for you to marry somebody that is not saved. That is not the will of God. You say, well, I believe it is. The will of God will never be contrary to the Word of God. We must understand that there is the printed will of God. In the printed will of God, we discover that it is the will of God, watch this, that every sinner be saved. Understanding the will of God. In the printed will of God, that every sinner be saved. Now, have you got your Bible? Let's do a little Bible studying tonight. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, I'm going to say something right here, Brother Matt Royal, that they used to say, my grandpa and your grandpa used to say, if you've got an old Schofield, that's on page 1275. Page 1275. That's what the old timers always said. I pulled my Schofield back out and started using it today because I knew a lot of people in the church used a Schofield. So page 1275 is 1 Timothy chapter number 2. It is the printed will of God that every sinner be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. Who will have all men to be saved. Listen to what he said in verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. You say, preacher, who is supposed to be saved? It is the will of God for every individual to be saved. Here's you another verse. I'm not going to flip to it, but it's 2 Peter 3:9. If you got a Scofield, that's on page 1319. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, but is long-suffering." Boy, I like that word right there. "Is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance." What is the will of God? Well, we understand tonight that the printed will of God is for every sinner to be saved. Every person to be saved. Does that mean every person will be saved? No, it doesn't. Because it still falls on man's choice what he does with God. But what he is saying is this, the blood was sufficient to save all men, and I want all men to be saved, but it still falls on that individual. I want every person that was here Sunday morning to be here tonight. It's my will that every person that was here Sunday morning was here tonight. But it falls back on that individual to have a choice. So we see the printed will of God that every sinner be saved. Now watch this. Take your Bible. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 6, it's 12:34 in a Scofield. 2 Corinthians 6. I bet there'll be 40 Scofields in here next Sunday night. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 17. It is the printed will of God that every person be saved. And it's also the printed will of God that every saved person be separated. The Bible said this, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So what is he saying? Well, it's the printed will of God that every person saved, but that also every saved person is separated from this world. You say, "I want to look like the world." No, that's contrary to the Word of God. That's contrary to the will of God. You say, "Well, I like it." It's contrary to the Word of God, and it's contrary to the will of God. It is the will of God. Now, I didn't figure nobody would be saying amen much right here. But Brother Aaron, it's still the will of God that we're separated from this world. Hey, look up in here. If it walks like a duck, it swims like a duck, it's got feathers like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If they walk like the world, they act like the world, they smell like the world, you know what? They're probably of the world. He said for the saved man, it's God's will, church, that we separate. Brother Mays used to say this, "I want to be so separated." Now you got to remember in his age and his timeline was back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And here's what he said. He said, "I want to be so separated from the world that if the hippies start wearing shoes, I'm going to go barefooted." That's what he would say. That's what he would say. You said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Separation is something that we're getting away from in this day. A lot of churches you go into today, and you can't tell a difference in the church and the nightclub. Brother Granville and I was talking yesterday, and we was talking about the electrical side and the lights and everything that's going in ours, and they just finished theirs, and he said he's had the electrician back up there twice, and he said, "It's dark, and I hate it." He said the platform's got lights, and he said it's just a darkness. He said there's a little bit of light in there, but it's those accent lights that throw shadows everywhere. He said the church is not the world. It needs to be bright, and I agree with him. Hey, look, if you turn the lights out, I'm going to sleep. I remember, Brother Matt and Miss Mandy may remember this, but I remember several years ago we went to hear the Isaacs, and High Road was there, and several others, and the Primitives was there. And I'll never forget, they had the lights turned down at that big church we was at, and they was singing, and the primitives got up there, and one of them looked like that. He laid back like that, and he looked like that, and he turned around, and he looked at one of the guys behind the stage, and he said, "Somebody turn the lights on out there. We in church, and I want to see who's out there." And they didn't it, Brother Matt. They turned the lights on in that whole place. But it's to be separated from the Lord. So many churches you go in today, I'm just being honest with you tonight. So many, we're supposed to be walking correctly in the will of God. So many churches you go in today, man, they're not dressed for church. I think we ought to dress our best when we go down to the house of God. I understand sometimes, especially on Wednesday nights, people's coming from work and trying to get here. But hey, look, we're to be separated tonight. I began to study that separation. I ain't done a study on it in a long time. I began to study it. And here's one thing, and if you'll look, if you've got a Scofield, if you'll look in the bottom of it, there's a big paragraph on separation at the bottom of that page. Separation, summary, separation in the Scripture is twofold. From whatever is contrary to the mind of God and unto God Himself. We separate from something to something. This is the printed will of God. You said, "Preacher, what's the will of God for my life?" I'm giving it to you. Number one, it's that you're saved. Number two, it's that you separate from the world. We separate from the world unto godliness. Amen. He goes on to say this, separation from evil implies separation in desire, motive, and act from the world in the ethical bad sense of this present world system. Separation from believers, especially false teachers, who are vessels unto dishonor. What about that? And boy, that's true. There's a lot today that's nothing more than a hireling. That's all they are. They don't love people because they're not going to tell them the truth. We're to separate from that. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we're to mark them and to have nothing to do with them. You say, "Well, who are they?" You let the Spirit discern in your heart who they are. If you have to question it, are you with me? You have to question. So he's showing us that the will of God, understanding the printed will of God, is that every sinner be saved, is that every saved person be separated. But now watch this, that every saved or separated person, if you want to go back to our text in Ephesians chapter number 5, that every saved, separated person be Spirit-filled. What did he say in verse 18? He says this, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That is a statement to us tonight. He didn't ask us, he told us, be filled with the Spirit. She said, "Preacher, what is the printed will of God?" It's that you get saved. It's that after you get saved, you separate. It's that after you separate, you become Spirit-filled. Amen. Watch this. I love the Bible. I don't know about you. That every saved, separated, Spirit-filled person be a servant of God. Be a servant of God. Can I tell you something? The only way you'll ever be a true servant of God is to be saved, separated, and Spirit-filled. To be a servant of God. Let me read you a verse in Romans chapter number 12, page 1206 in the Scofield. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Listen to this verse. You probably know it. I could quote it, but I want to go there and read it because I want to look at a couple other things. The Bible says this. We're talking about the printed will of God is that we're servants of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, watch this, will of God. It's the will of God that we're servants tonight. The printed will of God, in other words, our Bible states to us tonight that we're to be servants of God. You know what a servant's main interest is? The servant has one duty. Did you know that? That's all the servant has. A servant has one duty, and you know what it is? To do anything and everything the master says do. If they're a true servant, they have one desire, and that is to be fulfilling to the master. Amen? Matter of fact, you know what he said Jesus was? He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Y'all remember that, don't you? What was it? That he was a servant. That was what he says. He goes on to say that he was a servant, took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, everybody says, I want to be a servant until they're treated like a servant. I'm the same way. And somebody say, amen, help me right there. But he says this, it's the will of God that we are servants. Why should we be servants? Why should we be servants? You're right there in Romans. Go back to chapter number 3. I want to show you something. Chapter number 3. Man, we're not going to get done with this, but it's all right. Verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For the law is the knowledge of sin. You know what we see right there? We see condemnation. We cannot uphold the law. And I'm not talking about worrying about a deputy pulling you over or the highway patrol on your way home. I'm talking about the law of God. And he says right there, we cannot do that. There's condemnation. But look in chapter number 5. Look in chapter number 5. Now watch verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, there's condemnation. Chapter 5, there's justification. He says that we are justified. Man, I feel like preaching. You know what that means? That means just as if I had never sinned. I am justified. Even though, the law brings condemnation. I don't know if anybody is getting what I'm preaching to you right here, but I'm enjoying it. The law, Brother Josh, brings condemnation. If it was up to the law, we would die and go to hell. Chapter 3 is condemnation. Chapter 5 is justification. The law brought condemnation, but Jesus brought justification. Oh yeah, watch this. I'm talking about being servants. Watch this. Chapter number 8. Look in chapter number 8, verse number 1. Chapter number 3, there's condemnation. Chapter number 5, there's justification. Look in chapter number 8. Chapter number 8, there's affirmation. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So in chapter number 3, we're condemned by the law. Chapter number 5, Jesus brought justification. Chapter number 8, he knew there'd be some of us along the way that would doubt a few things. So you know what he does in chapter number 8? He affirms to us. There's affirmation in chapter number 8, verse number 1. What did he say? He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus. Man, there's affirmation tonight. Thank God I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Yes, I was condemned. Yes, I was headed to hell. Yes, I was wicked and vile and deserved to die and go to hell. I was condemned by the law, but thank God Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. He never sinned the first time. And because of that, I have justification. And he affirms that to me. I am not condemned by the law. I'm justified in Christ. Now look at this. There's condemnation, justification, affirmation. Now, because of that, in chapter number 12, there is devotion. He says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove that which is, or what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, now that I have redeemed you from sin, now that I have affirmed that to you, the least we can do is live a life of devotion to Him. Amen. What is the will of God tonight? It's the will of God that we are the servants of God. It's the will of God that we don't live our lives for ourselves. We live it for Him. A life lived for yourself is just a selfish life. A life lived for yourself is just a selfish life. I thought today, I was out there, and we got the rough end plumbing in yesterday. Brother Matt and Brother Matthew Wall and Brother Mark got that in yesterday, and we had to wait on the inspection before that could be covered up. And we knew that rain was going to be coming today. So as soon as I got up this morning, I got on the phone and got in touch with Farmers Mulching Rock and had some rock dust brought up here and delivered. And as soon as Brother Kevin, one of our inspectors in the county, Kevin Connor, great guy, got done inspecting, we talked a minute. And as soon as we's done talking, he backed in, and Brother Charlie was going to come later this afternoon and cover that up. And then we seen the rain was moved up, so I jumped on the small track hoe and I pulled it around there, and I went to covering it up with that rock dust. And honestly, here's what I thought. I'd rather be doing this than anything I know. I'd rather be serving Jesus. I'd rather be walking in the center of His will. I'd rather be sitting up here on the side of a hill in the middle of nowhere. I'm not worried about the world knowing my name. I'm not worried about being no big name preacher. I'd rather be up here in the rain trying to cover up a pipe so somebody can come hear the glorious gospel and the good news that Jesus still is saving sinners than anything I know. It's a life of devotion to Him. That is the will of God for you tonight. That understand that tonight. According to God's will. Hey, you remember what I said in the beginning? The will of God will never be contrary to the Word of God. And it's the will of God understanding the printed will of God. Well, that's point one. We must understand that there's not only a printed will of God. Madeline, come to the piano and start playing. I'm not going to preach this tonight. I'll pick it back up. We must understand there is the personal will of God. That what I just went through tonight is for every person in this room. That is the public or the printed will of God. If you're in this room, what I just preached to you applies to every person in here. That's everybody, Brother Josh. That is specific to everybody in here. But then there is a personal will of God for your life. God has something personally for you. He has something personally for you. God has a ministry for you. A ministry for you. I was thinking about one of those individuals yesterday, and I'll just leave it that way because we told a few about the Lord, but I was thinking about one of those individuals yesterday. And he told us of his past, and I thought, when he drove off, I thought, man, boy, if he gets saved, it'd be unreal. And I'm not saying he's not saved, but he's probably not. It'd be unreal. It'd be unreal the impact he could have. It's the public will of God or the printed will of God that he gets saved. But then there is a personal will of God. God has something for you to do that nobody else can do. God has people that you can win to the Lord that nobody else will win to the Lord. There's a personal will of God. You must understand that. There's the personal will of God concerning salvation, sanctification. There's a personal will of God concerning service. There's a personal will of God concerning your church, your companion, your career, your calling. I'm going to preach all of that. I'm just giving it to you in passing. Because I'm telling you, your church. There's a will of God for you at your church. It's a will of God for you to be faithful to it. It's a will of God for you to be fervent for it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's a will of God for you to be fruitful at your church. There's a personal will of God. At the church, there's a personal will of God for your companion. Don't settle for second best. Hey, young people that's not married, don't settle for second best. If you don't know it's the will of God, if you don't have Scripture to confirm that, you better run from it. Your career, I believe there's a will of God for your, there's a will of God for your call. But we must understand there's a progressive will of God. There's a progressive will of God. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? You should be closer to God tomorrow than you was today. Amen. Understand. What did he say? He said that we could understand the will of the Lord. It's not a secret tonight. It's not something hard to discern. It's understanding it. I want to say this to you in closing. I don't know. I don't know everybody's heart. Probably the majority of everybody here saved has testimony of being saved. There may be somebody here that's not saved. If you're not, I promise you it's the will of God that you get saved, and you get saved tonight. So is the will of God for me to get saved tomorrow? No, it's the will of God for you to get saved right now. Behold, now. Behold, now is the time of salvation. It's right now. Amen. You might not have tomorrow. The Lord may come back. You may die. Let me take it a step further. It's the will of God, though, that every person sitting in here that's saved separated. It's the will of God that we separate from this world. It's the will of God that we become servants of Him. That we become servants of the Lord. Doing what He wants us to do. What is it that God wants you to do? I believe that anything you do in life, you should do it with all your might. Anything. But especially when it comes to the service of God. Hey, if you're a Sunday school teacher and you wait till Saturday night to study a Sunday school lesson, God help. Shame on you. I'm just being honest with you tonight. Shame on you. We ought to give Him everything. You may disagree with me, and that's all right. You got the right to be wrong if you want to. I believe you'll give an account for every Sunday school lesson you teach, just like I'll give an account for every message I preach. I really believe that. You said, preacher, I was too busy to study through the week. Did you watch TV at all? Then you wasn't too busy to study. I'm just being real, man. I'm just being real. So preach like that, and we won't ever fill that building. I'm just being real with you. True love tells the truth. It exposes. When we're a servant, I'm telling you, we should put our whole heart into it. We should put, if you teach, put your heart into it. You ought to put your heart in. So sometimes the kids gets on my nerves. Sometimes adults gets on mine. Somebody holler amen right there. We put our whole heart into it. You know what? If you're going to vacuum a floor, you'll put your whole heart into it. If you're going to clean a window, put your whole heart into it. If you're going to clean a commode, put your whole heart into it. So, preacher, I ain't cleaning no commode. You hadn't found the will of God yet, because the will of God is to be a servant. Be a servant. Amen. I tell them when they mow every once in a while, if a stripe's off, I'll say something. Hey, wait a minute, boys. Let's get that thing back in line right there. You say, well, why in the world? It's the house of God, man. It's the house of God. The Lord knows. I didn't hardly sleep any last night because there was dirt in the driveway. That's just how picky I am. Me and Remington worked for an hour trying to wash it all off last night. And we just couldn't get it all. Miss Leslie will tell you this. Not long after the sun came up this morning, I had the leaf blower blowing dust and leaves, and I was trying to get the parking lot clean. You say, why, preacher? Because it's a house of God, man. It's a house of God. If we're servants of Him, man, we do it with everything. We do it with everything. We do it with... That's what a servant is. It's the will of God for us to be. Father, I love...